Welcome back to Unfiltered Faith Podcast. If you're new to the podcast, hi, welcome. We're so happy you're part of the family. This is where we get to the unfiltered truth about who God is and who He says you are. Today, I'm back with Sarah Elson. She was on our podcast episode about the key to a healthy mind.
Today, we're going to talk about the topic of rejection.
Because we experience it in different aspects of our life, whether it's a relationship or in your job or in school or friendships or even family members. There's times in our life where we face rejection. And so we are here to expose this evilness.
When I was in third grade, I went over to my friend's house and she said that she hated me and I should go kill myself.
Oh, that's rejection. And that creates a wound and an open door to witchcraft. Yes. And addictions and all sorts of bad things.
There's this neuroscientist, she's a Christian. Her name is Dr. Caroline Leaf. And she has an amazing book, I highly suggest it, called Switch on Your Brain. And she talks about how our thoughts in our brain, when you actually look at the brain, that our thoughts look like trees. And so toxic thoughts look like dead trees. Mm. And healthy thoughts look like healthy trees. So when a thought comes in, because again, I said this on the other podcast, not every thought is your own thought, and you don't have to think every thought. And so when you have an experience where you have rejection, it creates a thought. And then what the enemy does is he comes in and rides in on a half-truth. So the half-truth is that your friend rejected you. But that's a half-truth. That was based on what you experienced. Mm-hmm. But the truth of what God says is that you are not rejected.
You are accepted.
Yes.
Because Jesus already paid the price for you. Therefore, you are accepted. You cannot be rejected.
Exactly.
And the other thing is, like, when you are, you know, in Christ, you have the mind of Christ. Mm-hmm. So those, you can take every thought captive and be like, well, this isn't what God says about me. He says that I'm loved. So I'm going to just not come into agreement with that. And I'm just going to come into agreement with what God has already said about me.
Yeah. Well, when you believe a lie, you empower the liar. And when you're little, like, you don't know that mm-hmm. what someone is saying is a lie. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And so when you believe that, now you've given that access for the enemy to come and wreak havoc and feed into that lie that you're not worthy and that mm-hmm. you don't deserve to live.
Yeah.
And all the other lies that come with that.
And that root of rejection, if it's accepted, the branches will bear poisonous fruit in your life. And those fruits could be doubt, worry, anger, lust, jealousy, condemning of yourself and others. And I know I experienced that. Like, I had times in my life where I got so angry, I would scream at the top of my lungs when I was in high school. And my family, like, thought I was crazy. They wanted to put me in a mental hospital. And I would, like, hide in my, like, I would, like, get under my bed and they would have to, like, drag me out. Roots feed us whatever they are made of, and they carry a truth or a lie, like Sarah said, which will determine either the health or sickness of our soul. So if we're believing that lie and we're identifying with the rejection, that's going to determine, like, the different fruit in our life. So in Galatians, it talks about the fruits of the Spirit. And when I was younger, I went to a Bible school and they taught me this song and I ended up, like, memorizing it. It just became ingrained in my head. But it goes, and the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And that never left my memory. It never left my brain.
So you're talking about roots, and I have the most perfect scripture for this. So it's in Ephesians. It's Ephesians 3:14-19. And this is Paul praying for the Christians in Ephesus. And I love this because I pray this over myself all the time. But I just want to share this verse as a prayer, as a declaration over you who are listening. Ephesians 3:14. When I think of all of this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of heaven, of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from His glorious, unlimited resources, He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Then Christ will make His home in your hearts as you trust in Him. Your roots will go down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand is all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. So one of my favorite passages, and Meredith, I know this is one of your favorite as well, is Psalm 139. I'm constantly telling people to meditate on this psalm. And I'm actually going to read it in the Passion Translation. It's actually titled, You Know All About Me. Lord, you know everything there is to know about me. You perceive every movement of my heart and soul. And you understand my every thought before it even enters my mind. You are so intimately aware of me, Lord. You read my heart like an open book, and you know all the words I'm about to speak before I even start a sentence. You know every step I will take before my journey even begins. You've gone into my future to prepare the way, and in kindness you follow behind me to spare me from the harm of my past. You have laid your hand on me. This is just too wonderful, deep and incomprehensible. Your understanding of me brings me wonder and strength. Where could I go from your spirit? Where could I run and hide from your face? If I go up to heaven, you're there. If I go to the realm of the dead, you're there too. If I fly with the wings into the shining dawn, you're there. If I fly into the radiant sunset, you're there waiting. Wherever I go, your hand will guide me. Your strength will empower me. It's impossible to disappear from you or to ask the darkness to hide me, for your presence is everywhere, bringing light into my night. There is no such thing as darkness within you. The night to you is as bright as the day. There's no difference between the two. You formed my innermost being, shaping my delicate inside and my intricate outside, and you wove them all together in my mother's womb. I thank you, God, for making me so mysteriously complex. Everything you do is marvelously breathtaking. It simply amazes me to think about it. How thoroughly you know me, Lord. You even formed every bone in my body. You created me in the secret place carefully. Wow. Skillfully, you shaped me from nothing to something. You saw who you created me to be before I became me. Before I'd ever seen the light of day, the number of days you planned for me were already recorded in your book. Every single moment you are thinking of me. How precious and wonderful to consider that you cherish me constantly in your every thought. Oh God, your desires towards me are more than the grains of sand on every shore. When I awake each morning, you're still with me. So that was Psalm 139, 1 to verse 18.
That's my favorite psalm.
And it's just so powerful. How can you listen to that and believe that you're rejected? You can't.
It breaks the yoke.
Well, yeah, the yoke of bondage, the yoke of that mindset that you're rejected, that you're an orphan because you're not. You're not.
I actually think that it's so funny because I read that scripture last year around this time. It was like just when the shutdown happened, and before I really understood that I was then adopted into God's family and how much he cared for me and loved me, when I got rejected, I would like get into these really destructive self-sabotaging behaviors, and I remember it just affected me to the point where I would get depressed. I was just miserable. And then just recently, like a month ago, when I experienced a pretty painful rejection from someone, it hurt for a second, and then it's like it slid off of me as if I had never even been rejected. And that is because I believe the truth, and I didn't I didn't
feed into the lie
of like, oh, you're rejected, so this person is just, there's a problem with you. I knew that it had nothing to do with me, and that ultimately that rejection was God redirecting me, that it was him protecting me, and that he has so much better in store for me. And it just, like, it's like it didn't even affect me. And it's just amazing, because that scripture really, really changed a lot for me. So yeah, it's powerful. So I want Sarah to pray us out, but I think that scripture will definitely hit home for you guys.
Yeah. And this week, like, look it up, Psalm 139:1-18, and just read it over and over and over and over. Mm-hmm. See, the reason why you believe lies is because you've heard them over and over and over, and you've meditated on them over and over and over. You've let the enemy just take you on these rabbit trails and feeding you all of these lies, because again, he rides in on a half truth. So like with you, Meredith, that person really did say no, like, and reject you. Mm-hmm. That is the reality of the situation. And the half truth would be, well, that happened, so it must be true that you aren't good enough or that you aren't worthy.
Mm-hmm. But that's what the enemy would want me to believe.
Exactly. Exactly. So you have an enemy that wants to take you out.
Mm-hmm.
And he puts what he is, he tries to put what he is on you. He's rejected. So of course
he was rejected.
Yeah. So of course he wants you to believe that you are rejected. But you're not. You are accepted by Jesus Christ. He says so to come to him as you are, and he changes you.
Yeah.
He loves you for who you
God
are.
God is not mad at you.
Yeah. He's pleased with
there
you.
There is nothing you did wrong. He's proud of you, and he just wants you to come to him and be like, Lord.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
So let's just pray. Father, you are such a good father, Lord, and I know that there are people on here that, because of what they've experienced growing up, that it's really hard for them to see you as a father because they have a distorted view of what a father is. But God, just as this podcast is called Unfiltered Faith, God, I thank you that with your spirit of truth, you would remove the filters that have kept them from seeing the good father that you are, Lord. I thank you that right now, that with the sound of my voice, that they would feel your presence, Jesus. Whether they're in their car, their closet, their office, their room, doing laundry, whatever it is, God, you meet them exactly where they're at right here in this moment. And it's not an accident that they're listening to this, because you want them to know that you chose them first, that you watched them being formed in their mother's womb. You so intricately knitted them together, and you love them, and you delight in them, and you want them to see you for the good father that you are. Right now, we just come against those lies that they've believed, that no one wants them, that they're not good enough, that they're not worthy. But you tell them that, yes, I gave my life for you because I saw you worthy and I wanted you. Even if no one else wanted you, I wanted you. He's telling you right now that he wants you and he wants all of you. So God, I just thank you that they would feel your love right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you that you speak truth to their heart, God, that even they would feel in their heart, they would feel a warmth, they would feel a peace, they would feel something they haven't felt before. And we just silence the accuser in the name of Jesus. And we speak freedom over their mind, over their body, and over their spirit. Jesus' mighty name.
We pray. Amen.